It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew. We're going to continue the Beatitudes here, Matthew chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 10. We've kind of been locked on that for some time, but it sure is a good study. And so please that you look that up. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, and of course, Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to write to us, or call us, I'm sorry, phone number would be 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you would like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And so, or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. So good to have you together with us today as we're studying the precious Word of God. And so please just carefully listen as we read the Scripture and begin the study today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now we're going to stop there. I think we'll enjoy enough in trying to find the beautiful study that we have here, and just enjoy it, and it's wonderful to read it. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us, Father, to a study that is a blessing to you, to all those that are listening. And I want to praise you. I want to honor you, dear Lord. And so please that through this study we can do just that. Bring us closer and closer to you, and bring us to you, first of all. We must come by faith to you and be born again. And so it's wonderful, Father, that we can just recognize our sin. You convict us of that sin. We recognize that sin, and then we call upon you for salvation. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful promise. It's such a joy each day to walk with you, Father. And it's so simple just to accept our sin, realize you took it away, realizing that we're a wicked old sinner and we don't deserve it, but you've paid for it, and all we need to do is trust in you for our salvation. And you save us. You died on the cross and took our sins away. Thank you, Father. The wages of sin is death. Just praise you. Now, please, guide and lead us through this study today. Speak to all of our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful study as we look through the Scripture. You know, it's as we've kind of talked about this persecution here, and we kind of got off on the riches a little bit because, you know, we're looking at poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, the persecuted, all those things that seem to come, and we've taken several weeks here to almost just doing a verse at a time, it would seem. But to understand that a lot of times we get ourselves kind of tied up into the money, and we need to understand that to be poor in spirit, we've studied, to be meek, to be mourners, to be persecuted, that brings joy and happiness. You know, you can act those ways without salvation, but they're not real. They're not coming from the heart. And also, it won't save you to act that way. We need salvation that Jesus offers us. Then we need to begin to have the character of our God. And this is the character of our God. And so understand that it's coming. And then this persecution. A lot of times, the persecution we receive is kind of self-inflicted. we either kind of act in some arrogant way, possibly, or we act in some, the arrogance would cover all this, but to be proud and things like that. And so we need to see that we have this meek spirit, and we mourn for those that are lost. And we understand that we are going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. See, it is not for any other reason. The world, all they know is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Blessings is promised to those who are persecuted correctly for the living, for the right reason. And so we need to understand that. We should not seek persecution. And so sometimes when we go into areas that are so dominant of the world that we are asking, and we go in there and we say, you know, you're a sinner, and you know, I don't believe that God has set us up to do that. And, you know, Jesus didn't seek the drunkard. He didn't seek the rapist. He didn't seek the homosexual. Jesus proclaimed the truth as he walked on this earth, and the drunkards came, the rapists came, those homosexuals repented and come back to the Lord. And so we need to understand that's the joy each day that we have of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't need to go into the tavern and start preaching, because that's the devil's territory. We're to speak the truth. You have an opportunity to proclaim the truth. You proclaim the truth. The Lord will direct you and send you. And so, again, a lot of times when we find ourselves being persecuted, it's because we instigated it. Jesus never entered into a tavern or a prostitute's house or a establishment to share the gospel. Now, he had the opportunity to talk to many people that lived a very wicked life, but it wasn't under their house, under their roof, so to speak. And so don't bring onto yourself the criticism and the condemnation and saying, boy, I'm being persecuted for Christ's sake. Many times I'm afraid we kind of bring it on to ourselves. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. And so what a joy it is to bring them and turn them from their wicked ways. But again, you just put it to prayer, ask the Lord, and follow after his will and his way. The scripture tells us here in verse 10, for theirs, or for ours, is the kingdom of heaven. And so we enjoy the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus come, brought the gospel to us. What a joy. What a great joy it is to walk each day and serve him each day. I'm going to give you an example, and many of you maybe have heard of Billy Sunday. He was in this area where we are preaching, and he would set a big tent up, and he called it a tabernacle, and he would begin to proclaim the word of God. Billy Sunday was a ball player and got saved, and then became a wonderful preacher of the gospel. And they said in those times here back many years ago that the taverns would close, even the banks would close, everything would close, and they would come and hear Billy Sunday preach. And he would start with some of the stories of him playing ball, and I guess he was just so fast that sometimes when he would hit the ball, and they would think that he would be just getting to first, and he'd be standing on third. And there was a lot of things that would allow people to come, and then he would present the gospel. But you see, they came to him. Well, let's talk just a little bit about how Billy Sunday got saved. Billy Sunday was a drunk, And he loved the world, and he loved everything, just like we talked about before, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that's what he was all about. But you know what? It didn't satisfy him. It didn't satisfy him. Things weren't going quite the way they should, and the alcohol was getting ahead of him, and everything was kind of going the wrong direction. Well, one day, Billy Sunday decided enough's enough. And he was heading down to the Chicago River to drown himself. He'd had it. He couldn't control his life in any way, shape, or form, so he was going to end his life. And he walked by a mission in downtown Chicago. And that mission's still there. And when he walked by that mission, someone asked him, and begin to visit with him. And instead of him going down and committing suicide, he turned and came into the mission. And he heard the word of God, and he got saved. Once again, Billy Sunday walked by that door. I'm here to tell you that the only thing that we need is the word of God. And God knew the condition Billy Sunday was in. And he gave Billy Sunday one more chance to be saved. I don't know how many times he may have heard the gospel before. I don't know. But I know this time was going to be the last time. And as he walked down that street, had no intention of going in and listening to the preaching of the word of God, or listening to this person that came out on the street and began to visit with him and begin to talk to him about the Word of God and the gospel and the saving power of the Lord Jesus. Billy Sunday's responsible for thousands of people being saved. And it all came about because God led him one more time by that door, that mission. And so as people need salvation, all need salvation, but as they come to that point in life, they're going to bring you by, God's going to bring that person by you or by someone else or bring you to the church. It's going to bring you in a direction. We had one person come here a few years ago because they decided they needed to go to church, and they kind of took their finger and pointed in the phone book, and okay, that's the church. Come here. Just a few weeks later, they were saved, loved the Lord. It was a joy to watch him grow. God knew. He used that. When people are searching, he will bring the gospel to them. We don't have to go amongst this heathenistic world. We need to be out there. We need to have a testimony, yes. But my point of all this is, don't cause your own persecution. See that it's persecution for righteousness' sake. Because the life that you're leading, the way that you speak, the things that you do, people will condemn and criticize you. But it's not because you're going into under their roof, into their domain, and kind of spouting the word of God. God's very clear that we're not to cast our pearls before the swine. Now, what that means is it has to be someone that is hungry for the word of God. Well, that comes through the joy of preaching and enjoying the word of God and let the word do the work. We don't need a program. All we need is the truth, the word of God. That's what Billy Sunday used here. And God brought him right by that door. And that was a single last opportunity. So be careful that the persecution that we're having is not self-inflicted. Let the Spirit direct us. Let our walk and our talk be so that the Spirit will open the door every day to speak to folks that God has drawn, God has prepared. And so now we come on to verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And again, blessed are ye, blessed are they, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the merciful, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that mourn, and blessed are the poor in spirit. I read those backwards up through there, but it is a blessing, blessed way, and please that you walk for the Lord Jesus each day. And now we come down to the 11th verse. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Revile means to a reproach, evil language, contempt. And people will have contempt for you when you stand upon the Word of God. And it separates mother and father. It separates families. It separates parents and children. And it will do that. And it's sad that the Word of God, the precious Word that has nothing but love in it, separates people. Jesus knew this, that his enemies called him a liar, and we're going to look up some verses of Scripture here. We have in Matthew chapter 11, verse 19. Matthew 11, 19. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous, a wine-bibber, a friend of the publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. And so see what they called him. And John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. And the Son of Man, being Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they said, behold, he is gluttonous and a wine bibber. And so we find that they called the Lord Jesus a drunk. And let's look to John here. We've got another one in Matthew first, Matthew chapter 12, verse 24. Matthew 12, 24. And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And so they were calling him a devil. What a sad, sad statement. And so we find that, but this is, you know, as Jesus was proclaiming the word. And these Pharisees, they were very religious folks. I mean, they were in the church and everything was fine. And so it's sad to say, because we see the same thing today. We have folks that have rejected the gospel. John chapter 7, verse 20. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Now, what a sad thing. And Jesus answered and said them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath circumcised a man. It just continues because of the works and the things that Jesus was doing. It caused them to hate the Lord Jesus, and does the same thing today. The Word of God today, as it's proclaimed, people hate the Word of God. Let's go to 8:13. 8:13 is another one. And the Pharisees therefore said to him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. My, he is the Son of God, and yet they said, the record is not true. Even on the cross, let's go back to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, even while he was dying. Matthew 27, verses 39 through 43. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroys the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, which the scribes and the elders said, and he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Look at that level of persecution and the lies that were told, and yet he ceased. He kept his mouth closed. If he will have him, look at that in verse 43. If he will have him. What a sad, sad statement there. And so we need to understand that the Lord Jesus faced that persecution even while he was on the cross. He had complete power and ability to come down off the cross. But you see, my friend, he had to stay on the cross. If he had come down off the cross, we would have not had our sins forgiven. We would have not been set free. What a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus and trust in him. And so please, we need to understand this precious word and how wonderful it is to it. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Revile not again. It is such a sad thing. Didn't return the mean words. He didn't answer to them by the same action that we would usually answer. In other words, when someone says something like that, why, we return it with those words. It was did not come back with a comment, an evil comment like we do. He just was quiet. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And as we look at these words, we need to understand that we need to have our example of the Lord Jesus. We need to not come back with that argument, with that statement. And so it's a joy to understand we need to follow his example. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let's see what Paul has to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. The labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. What a beautiful word there. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. What a list that Paul gave there, the way he was condemned and criticized. And yet we find that he continued day after day. He supported himself. He did not have someone sending him money. He supported himself. He was a very, very hard worker. and he continued to not only support himself, but he supported others. He also supported the work of the gospel, the ministry. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Peter 3:14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of his hope, that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And so understand that, yes, we will. We will face condemnation. We will face persecution. But see that it's done by their lies and not something we have said or something we have done. That's the important thing. And so we need to understand that. And as it said, all manner of evil against you for my sake, for Christ's sake. What a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus and walk with the Lord Jesus and understand His way and His will. And then the Scripture says in verse 12, rejoice. Now, we just looked at being persecuted and all those things as to experience joy and gladness. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice exceedingly. Be exceedingly glad. So to rejoice is to experience joy and gladness. The word exceeding here is to surpass or to go beyond limits or measure. And we know in 1 Peter 1:8, with joy unspeakable, full of glory. What a joy to be a believer. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What a joy. What a joy it is. You know, Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned in Philippi. But instead of whining and complaining, they prayed and sang praises to God. Now, let's go to Acts. I don't know if we've got enough time here to cover that, and we may start there next week. But let's go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Acts 16, 16. And it came to pass, As they prayed, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Now, that's what happened. They gave victory to this woman, cast those demons out. But when you hit somebody in the pocketbook, it hurts. And that's what happened. It hit them in the pocketbook. And so that's where the pain came from. Well, we're going to just touch on this because we're going to reread this next time. This is where we'll start next time. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, we're going to stop with that because look at what they were doing. They had every reason to complain, and yet they were there praising God and acknowledging God. And so it's so important. Now, we're going to start there because it's worthy of rereading this again. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?